time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
Don't ban things. Drop the scratch ticket, Grandma. Hands up. Put that bingo card down.
SI's Ross Dellinger.
And so I think the Pac-12 finds itself, as one Pac-12 administrator told me, you know, we're not priority one right now, and maybe they will be in the coming weeks, and a deal will get done.
And SI's Pat Forty.
We're looking for insight, Dan, insight that's going to help us bet. How do you move? Do you look good when you move on the track? You know what? You want a big ass. You do want a big ass.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod, and I want to congratulate the Southeastern Conference, always cutting edge, always ahead of the times, innovators, just means more. Our first potential major gambling scandal since sports wagering became heavily legal across the country.
Give it up. SEC.
If you could have bet on which conference was going to have the first scandal, this was going to be a 1 to 100.
Yes, but hey, give them points for extra creativity, making it baseball, not football, not
Alabama
basketball.
Baseball at that. This is the most news Alabama baseball has created in decades.
Okay.
Hey, what do they say? Any news is good news when you're not ever in the news. There you
not
go.
Not so much Alabama. Yeah, Alabama's having a stretch here. We can get to that. Boy, yeah. they're running it out. They got bingo, scandal bingo going. Mm-hmm. So a lot not known. I'll run through this story if you're not following it. Let me just state the obvious. If this goes down as it seems, as it sort of allegedly looks like, there's a lot of really not a lot, but whoever's involved in this is a complete idiot. This is an intelligence test right here. Okay. So what happened was last Friday night, LSU and Alabama are going to play a baseball series. And in college baseball, you put your ace out first. Your Friday night game, you're throwing your ace out there. And Alabama's is a kid named Luke Holman. And just before the game, about an hour before the game, he gets scratched. Back tightness, they say. And they put in another pitcher, Hagen Banks, who hadn't started for a while, like a month at least. As such, LSU takes an 8-1 lead right off the bat, and they end up holding on to 8-6. It's got a little dicey. Even when you think you're fixing the games, you still gotta sweat it out. So that's the game. What happened was somebody walks into the sports book at Great America Park in Cincinnati, Ohio, where the Cincinnati Reds play, and that is a baseball stadium, but there's a sports book in there. And completely coincidence that it's baseball. The Reds aren't even there. So the guy, it's just, you know, you walk in. It's downtown Cincinnati. Someone walks in and makes two what they call sizable bets, one on LSU to win and one in a parlay featuring LSU to win. And this is where the intelligence test comes in. I don't know what constitutes sizable on a college baseball bet, but you can imagine this isn't the freaking Super Bowl. Okay. How many people are betting the LSU Bama baseball game in downtown Cincinnati anyway?
Yeah. So sizable will be like anything over $12 sizable for Alabama baseball bet.
To put it other ways, a number of sports books told ESPN they had minimal betting, and FanDuel, which literally is in every state, didn't take a single bet on the game. Nobody bet it.
Brilliant.
FanDuel got no one interested.
Yeah.
So whoever set this bet is a clown. Okay. So he thinks he's smart. He's got this info, apparently. and goes in and makes these bets. So this is why you really shouldn't be that. Everyone's, oh, I mean, the anti-gambling people, we guardrails, we need more rules. Believe me, there are laws. There are laws. Everyone's all fired up. This is what happens when you have sports wagering legal. No, what happens is you get caught. That's what happens. Okay? This is the worst, whatever, inside info. It's not even game fixing. It's just inside info. So according to ESPN, the sportsbook surveillance video shows, I don't know how they know this, but they shows the guy who made the bet was, quote, communicating with Brad Bohannon, the Alabama baseball coach. Now, there's also, I'm assuming it wasn't carrier pigeon flying down there really quick. So there's probably some kind of electronic telephone or text or whatever.
Text, yeah.
Direct message. Yeah.
Yeah, there are phone records, yeah.
Yeah, we don't need, you know, the FBI is going to have like a field day at this thing. I mean, this is easy. Just give it up. If there is this, he's cooked. So immediately, or by Monday, Ohio, the state of Ohio, which works with, there's a group called U.S. Integrity. All these sports books now are, everything in sports wagering is analyzed now. Everything is data. Everyone has accounts. Everybody, the slightest variation to probable behavior is red flagged instantaneously, right?
Yeah.
In the old days, if you wanted to fix a game, right, you're Henry Hill or something like that, and you got someone on the inside of Boston College or what was it, Headache Smith at Arizona State, right?
Right. Yep.
Something like that. You needed to go to Vegas with like $10,000 or more. You know what's going to happen. You had to go sneak into each sports book on the strip and hope you could make a bet that doesn't raise suspicions. Just casually walk in, bet $2,000 on your team to win, then leave, change your hat, change your disguise, go to the next sports book, right? Make another bet. Or you'd get a team of guys to go do it. And you had to hope that Carol at the front, at the betting window wasn't suspicious. And yep. Right. And the guy in the back who runs the bets every hour and checks the thing, maybe doesn't notice, or it's too late when he does or whatever. And he doesn't notice, say, hey, wait a minute, why is someone betting on this? That's a lot for this. And he, you know, he's at Caesars and he calls MGM and say, hey, did you get a big bet? Did someone bet this game? Yeah, actually it was and then they meet the guy down at Circus and they take him out to Lake Mead and give him some cement shoes, right?
Dan, you seem to know a lot about how this may work. You know?
Yeah, I might, know. That was in detail.
Okay.
Were you involved in the Boston College shaving scandal?
Look, Tark and I were buddies. You know, man, my man Tark knew a lot about this, just saying. So he would. So go up to Piero's there in Vegas. You hear some stories at Piero's. Great Italian place off the strip. Legend. Legendary, right? Joey Spaghetti, he'd be telling stories at the bar. You don't want to know. So now they're gonna nail you in 2 seconds. Yeah. It's not just the casino in Cincinnati that goes, wait, who the hell's betting LSU Bama? That thing is whoop, everywhere. And they figure it out. If you have an account and you've never bet college bait, let's say you just get this information and all of a sudden you just throw $1,000 down on a Bama, you're going to get red flagged if just without knowing anything, you've never bet college baseball, you just throw $1,000 down on a college baseball game tonight, they may not take the bet. Now, if you bet college baseball all the time, maybe you do. The only way to win these things is to get a steady stream of information and chip away at a very small rate.
Mm-hmm.
No one's going to take the bet. If they do, you are flagged, tagged, you're in trouble. And that's why I don't know, you know, this is all alleged. I don't know if Brad Bohannon was in on it. I don't know if Brad Bohannon was giving information. I don't know if Brad Bohannon had anything to do with it. I know Brad Bohannon got fired really quick by Alabama on this. But if you are involved in any way and you think this is going to work out, you're absolutely crazy. You could fix games. You could bet on inside information. You could do this 30, 40 years ago. Now, the more it's legal, the more people are watching, the more analytics are on this stuff. Absolutely crazy to be involved in it.
Yeah, it's a low probability wager that you would get away with that. Especially, like I said, in a sport where it doesn't take much to move the needle and get people's attention with, you know, college baseball. I didn't even know you could bet on college baseball. That was one of the big epiphanies of this for me. And, you know, I talked to a couple people yesterday who were theorizing that, you know, college baseball, where the coaching salaries aren't that big, the NIL opportunities aren't that big, those would be the people to try to get to influence a game. I don't know whether Brad Bohannon was involved in trying to influence the game, or if he was just talking to a buddy and saying, hey, guess what? Yeah, our main guy's not throwing tonight. And all of a sudden that guy's like, oh, really? Well, I'm going with it or whatever. Didn't even tell Brad Bohannon. But, you know, I would think you would not get a $5 million a year football coach to jeopardize his salary in something like that, or a $3 million a year basketball coach. But I think Brad Bohannon was making $475,000. That's plenty of money. Plenty of money.
Yeah. Let's not cry for old baseball coach out there.
I mean, I'm not crying for him, but if you want to find, if you're trying to find somebody who might take a risk, might go for the lower end of the college coaching salary scale.
But how much could they pay you for the info? This isn't the Gambino crime family's going to make money on your team the whole season.
Right.
Even if you could stay under the radar here, you'd have to bet such small amounts. What is this even worth to be the guy?
Right, right.
Well, obviously they didn't bet small amounts, though. It sounds like the problem is that they didn't bet small amounts. You know,
but the only way to not get caught is to bet $50 bucks on the game and have this web of people doing it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Everything became, as gambling continues to become legalized, a lot of people in college athletics had warned and cautioned that we're going to see some kind of point shaving, whatever scandal at some point. Everybody kind of was bracing for it. I think they probably thought that it would be the 18, 19, and 20 year olds doing it, and not the 40 or 50 year olds doing it. And probably not in a sport like baseball. So it's quite surprising that it was a coach, not just a coach, not just like an assistant or a staffer, but that it was a head coach involved in something like this.
Allegedly. We don't really know what happened here.
Yeah.
Not looking good for our guy.
Mm-mm. Not no. looking good.
No, but that's why I say this is an intelligence test. Yeah. Right. Whoever made the bet's an idiot. And if Brad Bohannon was involved, he's an idiot too.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just stupid. Again, you might be able to swing the line. Like, I know, you know, okay, you're Alabama football and you're not sure, you know, Bryce Young gets injured last year, right? Is he going to play? Is he not going to play? If you have inside information that ankle or what was it, ankle? Was it shoulder? I can't remember.
No, shoulder. Shoulder.
Shoulder, right? Shoulder. Okay, yeah. Arkansas, yeah. Shoulder. So let's say you're with around that program and you have, hey, you know what? That shoulder's looking pretty good. Or you see him in the football office. Hey, how's the shoulder feeling, Bryce? Feeling good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now you may be able to get ahead with that information just a little bit because that line might move. You might be able to pick up I don't know what Bryce Young playing or not is worth on a line. Point, 2 point, whatever, you're going to get something. That information can be valued to people, and everybody in college athletics that would have that info, whether you're a teammate or a staffer or the head coach, has to be careful with that, right?
Right.
But at least then you've got a chance to kind of hide some bets. If you've got the courage to be like, all right, I'm betting all in on this bit of information. But the way the industry is regulated, and instantaneously connected. And you know, this is why it's important that it's legal. This wasn't caught in Vegas. This wasn't caught in Louisiana, where LSU is playing. Does Bama even have a lottery? I don't think. Is Bama the one state without a lottery? Bama's hysterical. Don't smoke weed. Don't gamble.
By all means, carry your concealed
weapon. Carry as many guns as you want without anyone. Just a fantastic.
Alabama does not have a lottery, by the way.
No lottery. That'd be the end of it, man. Yeah. You know, hey, it's just me. I don't live in Alabama, but I'd go with the lottery over the unlimited, assault rifles weapons in the car. Yeah. But hey, you know, to each their own. So they're not doing it in Alabama, the scourge of gambling, but like, it was just one casino in Ohio that caught it. That's why I just think, like, if you're doing this, anybody keeps doing this, they're just going to get drilled.
Yeah.
I don't think you can get away with it. This isn't, I saw some comments. So yeah, NCAA don't want to do nothing. The NCAA is not involved here.
No.
Not the NCAA. No. Hey, all they can do is try to educate people going, hey man, if you know your teammate happens to, like, you know, Bryce Young might be playing, and you tell that kid down the hall,
mm-hmm,
careful, you might get dragged into something. So,
yeah, but I mean, look, that sort of thing is also, though, why some people have pushed for colleges to be less secretive about injuries and have an injury report, like the NFL does, you know?
Yeah.
Because coaches will absolutely lie and conceal if they can. So more information is good.
Yeah, and that's a topic. It seems like every year at conference meetings, mm-hmm, this time of year is when we get a standardized injury report. And I think the answer is probably never or until college sports breaks up into a way that there's a, you know, really semi-professional, if it's not already, but a more semi-professional, maybe you can get something like that. But coaches obviously don't want to do that. And it would be it'd be helpful. It might prevent some of these things.
Just kind of protects against people, you know.
Yeah.
Certainly was interesting how quickly Alabama moved on Bohannon.
That's for sure.
Right? Was it 3 days and he was gone?
3 days and he was gone, which is probably indicative. A, they had some stuff. Clearly, they knew he had been in the wrong. But B, as you alluded to briefly earlier, Dan, this is not a time to be screwing up at Alabama. I think they've probably reached their saturation point on scandal, and they need to act on some of the things that have happened there.
Yeah. Been quite a spring in Tuscaloosa.
So to recap, we have the strip shootout on January 15th,
mm-hmm,
involving some basketball players. Junior Darius Miles charged with capital murder in the death of Jamea Harris after a big shootout. There were two other teammates there. One of them, Brandon Miller, ferried the soon-to-be murder weapon at the request of Darius Miles to the scene. Alabama did not know the details of Miller's involvement until a detective said it in open court, surprising everyone. That caused a huge, huge story that hovered over that season. You had, they never disciplined anybody or anything like that. So Miles is still in jail. Everybody else left. Last month, recruit Jaquan Walton was arrested in Tuscaloosa, basketball recruit. He had marijuana and three guns in a vehicle he was sitting in, just about a block from where the shootout was. Again, the weed was the problem. But Nate Oates immediately stopped recruiting him. Coach Oates found the line in the sand. Found the line in the sand. You had a football recruit, Tony Mitchell, charged down in Florida with possession of marijuana with intent to sell or deliver. He led law enforcement on a high-speed chase that reached 141 miles an hour. There was a gun in that car as well. Went to his passenger without a permit. They do have permit laws in Florida. You had Nick Saban suspended him. You had just Monday, Alabama's compliance director, Matt Self, was arrested on third-degree domestic violence charges. He's also an administrator of the football program. I don't know what his job status is at this point. You still have the Henry Ruggs story, which, again, is kind of a lot of these things are unrelated yet related, you know. Ruggs pled guilty to DUI resulting in homicide out in Las Vegas. Obviously, he was with the Raiders at the time. I don't know how much it really matters. But all of that in a, what, four-month, five-month period? Less than five-month period.
Yeah.
And now we have the... Now we have the potential gambling scandal that cost the firing of the baseball coach.
I was out in Phoenix, you know, for the conference meetings. You know, there's no SEC meetings out there. It's just the other conferences, mainly Pac-12, Big 12, and Mountain West. But there's administrators and coaches from other conferences that kind of filter in and out of there. But I don't think anybody from the SEC was out there. And that's kind of the norm. But the SEC was a topic of discussion. I never thought that Alabama baseball would be something that would come up at conference meetings in the middle of Arizona. But lo and behold, the last couple of days this week, it was a topic of discussion among administrators, with the common theme of what the hell is going on in Tuscaloosa?
Yeah. I mean, it's a question worth asking, and we'll see if we get any answers to it. But they have been on an incredible roll of bad news, bad judgment, bad decisions, bad oversight, whatever. It is not pretty down there. And I would bet there was some guardrails talk, Ross, in Arizona about the baseball gambling situation. That's the kind of thing.
Guardrails, that, yeah.
Yeah,
do they have new guardrails? What guardrails are they going to come up with to stop
coaching betting guardrails?
The thing that stopped it within minutes. What do they got? Did they come up? They have to make some rules.
They love making rules. Yes, they do. I'm sure we'll, you know, I'm sure this, what, about 4 weeks, 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks or so, be at SEC spring meetings down in Destin. And, you know, there are a lot of big topics this year there. And this will be a new one. This will be lopped on top of there. We'll have the SEC scheduling debate, the field storming situation, you know, NIL athlete compensation stuff, and now the betting scandal.
Yeah. And that's, I will say, to Dan's point, you know, that the system actually worked here. Instead of people, you know, the immediate reaction from some people is, oh my God, we can't have gambling on college athletics, or certainly on college baseball, because this is the kind of thing that'll happen. But the system worked. The system found somebody that was trying to bet on inside information and identified him and blew it up.
So. And he's been eliminated in less than a week.
Yeah.
And we don't want to see Brad Bohannon at the bottom of Lake Mead.
Greg Byrne might want to see Brad Bohannon at the
whatever
the
heck happened. If he did anything, I don't know, but I let the, you know, maybe he's got enough problems. We don't need that. No, the system works. No. It's fine. It's okay. If this isn't a lesson, that don't try it. I don't think anyone's going to try to like this is your chance. Oh my God, I got inside info on a game. I'm going to bet it. Boom, you're all going to prison. Mm-hmm. Like, don't. The system works. It's not. Don't ban things.
Yeah, I mean,
drop the scratch ticket, Grandma. Hands up.
Yeah, it's funny.
Put that bingo card down.
What Dan just said reminded me, like, Brad Bohannon might have more to worry about than getting fired, huh? It's one of those things that didn't even kind of like dawn on me until now. Like, oh yeah, he could be headed for the federal prison somewhere. If he is in fact found to have been involved, which obviously if Alabama's going to fire him that quickly, and then, you know, there is stuff leaking to ESPN, which based on the, you know, ESPN reporter, I think it is it David, that does. Yeah, he covers gambling. So you would think it came from, you know, somebody in the gambling industry or the Federal Bureau of whatever's investigating, that the information came from them, that it's good information, and that Bohannon is linked to this thing with some kind of phone records or text or phone calls. And yeah, he's got bigger issues than losing his job at Alabama, I guess.
You want to make a long play parlay, bet the over on the wins total for the federal prison camp baseball team down in Montgomery. It's going to be well-coached club. It could be a well-coached club.
Yeah, by the way, did you see what Alabama did last night? Did you guys see? They played number 5 Vanderbilt last night I think it was 11-2. Just reading some comments, some tweets from Kendall Rogers. He was watching the game, said that Greg Byrne was on the field to greet the coaching staff and the team as they walked off. There were high fives and hugs, and the fans did. You kind of did a victory lap for fans. Sounds like a pretty cool, like pretty cool scene there in Tuscaloosa on a very dreary day.
Good for the players, man. They didn't do anything.
Yeah, right.
And honestly, I don't know. I've never met Brad. I never even know the name Brad Bohannon until 3 days ago or whatever.
Right.
But if you're dumb, if indeed he is caught up in this and is this dumb, like you'd be like, I'm glad we got rid of that guy.
Yeah.
Coach was a moron. If you ever doubt my federal prison camp baseball thing, check out the federal prison. Go on Google Maps and check out the federal prison camp in Montgomery. The place is it's on like an Air Force base. They have like facilities, man. Like they have a baseball stadium that like backs up to a river. It's amazing. There's soccer fields. It's crazy.
They got a prison booster who's funding the facility.
They have like serious facilities game, right? Like the facility over in Oakdale, Louisiana, has got to step up their stuff. Someone, the booster's got to come in.
That's Alabama. The facility
at that prison once. It was like, I'm like this. You know, I mean, I don't want to be here, but even visiting, I'm not checking into this hotel for a night. But if I got to.
The facility's arm races even reach.
You can
the
watch the planes take off and like the fighter jets. It's like there's a golf course. You can't play the golf course. We can watch people play golf. I mean, look at don't know. It's better than Shawshank.
Probably better check than Sing Sing.
This is my advice. My advice to our listeners. If you're got to go. And I think some of you might. This might be a disowing some of you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Try to get your ass to Montgomery.
Request your sentence be served in Montgomery.
Worst places.
If you got to go, and I think some of you might.
All right.
We've just labeled our listenership criminal. That's good.
Well, who knows? Maybe Bohannon was a listener. I don't know. You don't know who's out there.
No.
Doesn't make you a bad person, just makes you a convict. Whatever. You know, these things happen. Happens out there. One thing you think you got a tip on an Alabama Crimson Tide baseball game. Next thing you know, dumbass.
Better to be
like, dumbass, you have to bet $1,000 freaking on the game? Come on. I love FanDuel. No one bet on that game.
What do we think the amount was that triggered something like this? I mean,
honestly, it could have been $100.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, in this situation, it really could have. Yeah,
and I'm sure it wasn't. I'm sure they went higher than that. Sure, but it could have been $100. Someone walks in and is like, "I'm placing 2 bets involving the LSU Bama game in Cincinnati, Ohio," and they're like, "It flags. This stuff is way too connected. It's not. I have a hunch. I'm just the person at the counter. It's like boom, computers. So." Look out. AI is going to do it for you. All right. Let's move on. Conflicting reports. Again, the Pac-12, they just get They just get crapped on all the time.
Don't I know
it? New report that they're dead. ESPN's out. Gas station TV is in. I don't know. Then they're saying, no, ESPN's still in. Gas station TV is out. They're never out. 24 hours a day that Cheddar News runs.
Gas station Pump TV, six. tough to beat, man.
What's the latest? Ross, you were out there with all the movers and shakers at the Biltmore.
Nope. Not the Biltmore anymore. Now it's the Hyatt Regency Gainey Ranch.
It isn't the Fairfield Inn at the airport. I'll tell you that.
It is not. It is a gorgeous place where only the rich and powerful reside. So, it was an interesting few days. The main topic, was the realignment situation, a potential realignment situation that is contingent, maybe on the Pac-12. TV deal, and that was kind of the talk of the event. I can't tell you how many administrators or coaches came up to me and asked, so what's going on with the Pac-12 deal? You know, I mean, it's just like the thing, and nobody really has answers. There's some people that think they have answers, I think, but I don't know that anybody really knows the situation. The landscape right now, the feeling right now on the Pac-12 side is, you know, they're holding firm that they're together. They're in support of the conference of the 10. They're working on a television deal. They've got kind of a loose-ish deadline for the end of June. That deadline continues to move. Obviously, we've seen it the last several months. And they'll point to, hey, look, our deal is up in 14 months or so, 13, 14 months. The Big Ten announced their brand new deal, you know, within a year of being up. Like, we're on track, you know, we're on pace, we promise. And so that's kind of like their take from the Pac-12 side. I think they even have, I think they have the 10 of them, I think, have even agreed that they will sign some kind of grant of rights if they're able to get a good enough, you know, TV number. I think they will. And it's maybe not as much, and we talked about it on the show before, not as much about the number, because I think the number's probably going to be there value-wise, money-wise, with the Big 12 and ACC. It's the visibility. It's who's going to be, where are these games going to be? And yes, ESPN, it was a topic. I think it was Wednesday evening, Wednesday afternoon in Scottsdale that CBS Sports reported that that ESPN was out of the running for the primary TV package of the Pac-12. Now, I'll say this, you know, to me that wasn't that big a news. I think many people expected ESPN to be a secondary package. I think SBJ maybe. Maybe some other outlets had reported that previously. The New York Post maybe had reported that the main primary package wasn't going to be ESPN. However, in response to that story, it was pretty swift denial from both, I want to be clear, both sides, Pac-12 and ESPN, where there was swift denial on that story. And there was both sides say they are still talking. They're still talking about a primary package. It might not happen. They might not get the primary package, but that it's still alive and they're still talking about it. I don't know why really that ESPN would lie about that, you know, and I know other Pac-12 would, and that's why you go to the other side. I don't know. I have a firm belief in that.
Is there anybody else ESPN is negotiating with? I mean, having options, you can tell somebody pound sand, we're going to go this route. Is that that would be my only idea on a motivation?
Yeah, I mean that's, and that came up out there too, is that part of the delay in the Pac-12 deal is that the Pac-12 is behind others that ESPN is negotiating with, including maybe WWE, UFC, which are combining. So I think the Pac-12 finds itself, as one Pac-12 administrator told me, you know, we're not priority one right now. And maybe they will be in the coming weeks and a deal will get done. So that's kind of like the Pac-12 side. Then there's the Big 12, right? Which is in hot pursuit of some of these Pac-12 teams. And within the Big 12 meetings, there was expansion talk, of course. I think there was expansion talk, you know, in the Mountain West meetings too, and in the Pac-12 meetings. Everybody is talking expansion, preparing for some kind of dominoes to fall based on maybe the Pac-12 deal, you know. But the Big 12, they are confident that one or two or three or four of the Pac-12 teams may fall their way if this deal isn't good enough. And they still feel that way. They feel fairly confident in their situation.
Yeah. You know, the longer obviously that this goes without a resolution from the Pac-12, the more the vacuum gets filled with whatever agenda setting information people want to put out. And there is, I think, been a belief / suspicion among Pac-12 people that the Big 12 is trying to destabilize the Pac-12 at every chance it gets. And, you know, I guess they're like the Big 12's like the Chinese Russian bots on Twitter. They're just out there trying to sow discontent or whatever. That's, you know, one reason why it would behoove the Pac-12 to go ahead and get this thing done when they can. But I don't blame them if you have a chance still to land a nice deal with ESPN, you hold out for that. And I would think ESPN still would want that late night window on Fridays and Saturdays with West Coast football to put on there, because, you know, there's an audience for those games. We've seen it. The numbers were pretty good. So that wouldn't necessarily be that easy to fill elsewhere. So I would think there's interest still, even in a diminished Pac-12. You can't make USC and UCLA play night games every time that start at 10:30 Eastern. So, there will be games played on the West Coast that people will watch.
All right, I want to dig into two things here, and this is completely speculative. Just quick question, Pat. Good ratings late Saturday night. What constitutes good ratings? Was it a million? Two? I don't know.
I think it was a million. There were games that were drawing that. I mean, right. not like big time games like Washington right. versus somebody.
Yeah. I mean, all of us are watching that stuff. It's great.
Yeah. Right?
Like I always say, like I swear I see more Boise State games than LSU.
Right. All right, here's some.
They're on, right?
Yeah, here's some numbers, by the way, Dan, for you. In 2021, Pac-12 teams appeared on 12 ESPN games that kicked off at 10 p.m. Eastern or later. Those games averaged 1.34 million viewers each.
Okay.
And all but two broke the a million mark.
So that's a good number for that time of night. So then, Ross, you mentioned the WWE and UFC. Now, this is what's interesting. This is what I'm wondering.
Which is late night TV.
Can be. So they want to do Saturday night pay-per-views, but they can't do it every week. But I wonder if, like, that's the competition. Because we've always sat there. Again, I'm just coming up with this on the fly. So someone might be like, yeah, you got it all wrong. We've always been like, well, what else are they going to put on at 10 o'clock?
Mm-hmm.
They do boxing sometimes. Those don't get a good number. But you look at these. I'm looking at the WWE ratings. Now, these are or pro wrestling in general. Now, these are WWE Raw and SmackDown are earlier in the night. But I'm looking at last year's ratings. I mean, SmackDown is over average 2.1 million 52 straight weeks.
Wow.
And they hit numbers of 2.6 and whatever. I mean, it is a steady ass audience here. And WWE Raw hit one point. I watch UFC. I do not watch WWE, but like you cannot discount that this audience is there, right?
Right.
And I wonder if it's like that those two companies have now merged. They're going to ESPN and saying, we want 52 straight weeks of Saturday night programming. We'll offer you a combination. Some weeks it's WWE, although I would think you'd have to have the same one at the same time. I don't think you're getting 2.1 million average for a pro wrestling at Saturday night at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
But, you know, that may be the option, because that's the one thing we were always saying, like, what else are they going to put on? And maybe it's of all things, pro wrestling is their competition. I'm inventing this. So, what did you hear about WWE, Ross, if anything?
Not much. Just that the Pac-12 was behind them on the pecking order of getting a deal done. And that people pointed to that as the delay in the Pac-12's deal. Yikes. No real specific, but that was kind of pointed to as part of the delay.
So I just wonder if they can sit there and say, look, we'll give you 52 Saturdays in the year or however many you want. Right. And our production cost, the production costs are nothing compared to a football game. And we only want this much money, that it's a better bang for your buck for ESPN. I don't know. Just interesting. I just think there's more out there maybe than just football, which I naively was like, well, they got to do something. Maybe I was all wrong.
Yeah. No, that's an interesting theory. I wonder, what the level
those guys are really smart.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Yeah.
No one ever said the WWE and the UFC weren't good at what they do. They're good business people. So I don't know.
By the way, I'm sorry.
Yeah, good.
No, I think we might have solved one mystery from last week's earlier podcast. In this week, I had two or maybe even three people ask me where the tweeting birds were coming from, and I think maybe Ross was out there at that palatial ranch. Were you recording out on the balcony or something?
I was in an Airbnb. We ended up getting an Airbnb house in Scottsdale. Me and a coworker, and I was out. We had a backyard basically, and I was sitting in the backyard taping the pod. And there were a few little critters there in the trees in the backyard. So yes, the tweeting birds were coming from my Scottsdale backyard.
I also heard clinking of whiskey ice. Is that was that?
That early, Dan? It was like 8 a.m. in Scottsdale, man.
Oh, that was
come
mine.
On.
I was still trying to overcome the Bruins. Yeah, that was my glass. Yeah,
you with your too much ice and your bad whiskey and everything else you were criticized.
Good whiskey, although they have not responded to our requests. Bushmills is about to. Yeah. They're going to get, let me tell you what, I'm going to blackmail Bushmills. You either come with us, it's going to get ugly.
That's right.
By the way, we have lots of listeners of the pod in old Scottsdale. They were, there was a bunch of people came up to me in Scottsdale, and they were fans of the pod.
Well, we appreciate your listenership. You can remain anonymous because no one wants to admit they listen to this except a few psychopaths on Twitter. Pat, why is the Kentucky Derby? Why is Wetzel the Horse racing in Mahoney Valley this weekend and not Louisville? What the hell? Scared. And there's a horse named Forte, which we can I can mispronounce very easily to be 40. And I think you're ducking us. I think you're ducking us. Come to Youngstown.
No, no, no. Yeah, come to Youngstown.
I dare you. Come on. My horse will run to Louisville and then beat your ass.
Your horse, we don't consort with low-level geldings. Sorry. We with the serious high-end, well-bred thoroughbreds.
Always with the gelding. Always with the gelding. It was a medical procedure. They should have HIPAA rules for the damn horse.
Yeah, sorry about your luck there, and sorry that you're not in Louisville. I would have liked to seen him get Wetzel in on one of the lower level races this week. At least, come on, come test yourself.
We'd win the low level, and then we'd win the big one. We're like an AAU team. We'll play all day.
There you go. Yeah. At Wetzel the Gelding is running again today, Friday. We're taping this Friday, Oaks Day in Kentucky. And Wetzel is on the card again at Mahoning Valley. So get your bets in. Our greedy
Pat,
little Gelding.
Pat made us broadcast, tape this early Friday morning so we can get drunk all day. Mm-hmm. Is that true? Is that a true? Ross, what have you heard? I have sources that say that was Pat's motivation.
Sources say alcohol is involved.
Excuse me. Alcohol will be involved today. Yes, this is actually my favorite day of the year, just about. Really, I have two of them. When we do the bowl pool at Kern's Corner in December and Oaks Day, when we sit in the paddock and imbibe and lose money betting on horses. So this will be a fun, fun day at Churchill Downs for me. Provided
right, has any the horse finally dead stops. Or has any horse dead or alive offended you this week with their name? Pat really hates horse names, including a couple years ago, an epic rant. If you want to find it, it is one of the funniest bits we've ever done. It wasn't a bit. It was just Pat drunk screaming after the NFL draft show when we were in Cleveland, whenever the Cleveland draft was, I think 2021. Yeah, Pat screaming because someone named their horse Soup and Sandwich.
Absolutely offensive.
So has anyone offended you with their name this year?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, they have.
Oh, good.
I got my list right here.
Oh,
Oaks on the back. God, he's got Derby a list. On the front.
Oh, man, yeah. He's got multiple pages.
It. Yeah.
Pat's offended. Yeah.
So here's the most offensive one, and I think you two guys will agree, given the fact that we try to spell and use punctuation properly.
What?
We have in the Kentucky Derby two Phils, P-H-I-L apostrophe S. There's a possessive apostrophe that doesn't belong there. You don't need the apostrophe. This is a scourge across America, really.
English
language has been ruined by bad apostrophe use, and now it's come to the Kentucky Derby. And it's actually a pretty good horse, but I refuse to put a nickel on it because they have a possessive apostrophe that shouldn't be there.
Bad grammar. I'm a big menu. Like you go into a diner.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, you know, chicken and there's a pot. There's quotes around the chicken pot pie. And you're like, I don't think you. Wait, what? That means it's not chicken. Or it's like the two, you know, two eggs and meat, and it's M-E-E-T. You're like, what? You know, the hell is wrong with you people? Learn up basic spellings on your menus. I actually love it. Two fills, huh? Yeah.
Two fills with an apostrophe. You're
is there
out.
A way that that could be something, though? Two fills moving, right? No, it actually cannot.
No.
Because it's plural, yeah.
Yeah. So,
all right,
I don't
two
know
fills. Well, screw
Phil
them.
Nicholson and Phil Negro or whatever, but yeah, screw them. They're out. Then in the Oaks race, it's actually, I believe, the favorite. Talk about it. This just the favorite's name is Wet Paint.
Wet
like,
paint?
Who names a horse Wet Paint? I guess we're going to sit around and watch the paint dry. It is. It's a good horse. It's even a good-looking horse. I've seen the horse on the track in the mornings. It looks nice. Why would you name it Wet Paint? There's also Dorth Vader.
Hold on. Back that up. What exactly constitutes a good-looking horse? Does that mean that you sometimes look at horses and go, that's an ugly horse?
Well, yeah. Sure.
Oh.
But she's Wet Paint. No. Nice, dark color. You know, just
paint,
well
Wet
well
paint
formed.
Me concerned about this. You care about the looks of the horse?
Yes. That's why people go to the paddock to look at him and say, okay, well, that one looks ready to run. Oh, that one doesn't.
It's such a
finger
weird
skating?
Sport. Such a weird sport.
We're looking for insight, Dan. Insight that's going to help us bet.
A
not
handsome
on Alabama
horse?
Baseball.
A yeah. Handsome horse.
I mean, that doesn't necessarily inform all of your betting, but how do you move? Do you look good when you move on the track?
Oh, I thought you were talking about like its facial features. And
no, they all have a long face, as a matter of fact.
It's a butt, Dan. It's a butt.
Yeah. You know what? You want a big ass. You do want a big ass.
Yep. Gluteus maximus.
Brother.
Title, I can see the title of the pod. You want a big ass.
That better be the drop at the beginning of this show.
But the, no, the other offensive.
I thought Brad Bohannon would be the dumbest part we talked about today.
No.
Okay, go
looking
ahead.
At your horse, Dorth Vader. Dorth, D-O-R-T-H.
That's terrible.
Vader. That's terrible. Remember
that guy. What was that thing? Dorf on golf, or what was that thing? Was
the
guy?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That was Tim Conway. Wasn't it?
Yeah, he'd like pretend he was just dead at the knees and he'd play golf. It's crazy. I hadn't thought of that in a long time. Dorth Vader. That's stupid.
Dorth Vader. Apparently, this is somebody that they like to name their horses Dorothy or some version of Dorothy, and they came up with that. Not well done. So, I'm not betting no Dorth Vader either. Out. I'm trying to think like what if there's a good name this year. Gambling Girl will get a lot of money, like from the $2 women bettors at Churchill in the Oaks, because they'll all fancy themselves Gambling Girls. Men's or the Derby, Reincarnate. I kind of like that name. That horse will be on the lead after a mile and then will back up, much like Soup and Sandwich did.
So, all right.
That's about it. Not a great year for names.
All right. Pat, a lot of folks in Scottsdale, by the way, taking a flight today to the Derby. A lot of Derby talk in Scottsdale, actually. A lot of
folks oppose sports wagering. You know, yeah.
They won't bet anything. Yeah. I'm having a Derby crawfish boil, by the way. Can I just say? Having a Derby crawfish boil on Saturday.
Are you?
How about that?
Good.
Pat, we'll be having more fun than you watching the Derby from afar. With our our Cajun potatoes and mud bugs.
It does sound good. I will be sober for the Derby. I will not be sober today for the Oaks.
appreciate the invite. Thank you.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I got it might have got lost in the mail, I guess. Hey. Damn, that the US Post Office.
I have had many people wonder why you guys aren't coming to the Derby. So explain yourselves why neither.
It's on the bucket list. It's on the bucket list. I want to do the Bourbon Trail in the Derby one of these days. One of these days.
Yeah. You know, lots of gambling and drinking really doesn't interest me, Pat. That's not my. You know, I don't know why. Yeah. I have a book club to get to. Mm-hmm. Some different things. All right. I want to end the pod with this. This is a story. Kyle Tucker covers Kentucky, brought this up since we're talking Kentucky. He tweeted this thing out. Pat, you may have covered this guy. I don't know if you remember. I don't know. His name was Dennis Johnson. He was a lineman for the Kentucky Wildcats.
Yeah. Sure.
Right. Yeah. Great player.
Yeah.
He called up his old Kentucky bio is on the internet. Mm-hmm. And it includes his high school career in Harrodsburg, Kentucky. So, you know, it's like about 9,000 person town. They used to have a high school, which I'm guessing is pretty small. They now have merged with the county school. Mm-hmm. These stories, let me just go with this. I'm just going to start reading this. I wish I had known about this at the time. A 6-year starter. This is his high school career. A 6-year starter. At defensive end and a 5-year regular on the offensive line at Harrodsburg High School.
Yep.
The dude was starting in 7th grade and going both ways in 8th.
Yep.
Needless to say, he won like state player of the year, regional, Mr. everything, right? But it gets even better. Senior season, he had 150 tackles. 37 for a loss and 18 sacks.
Oh, my God. Wow.
He also punted for 39.2 yards. And he played offensive line, too. Dennis Johnson.
Yeah.
Gets better. Played his first high school game when he was in 2nd grade.
What?
Good Lord. What?
In football?
In football. Dennis Johnson played at Harrodsburg High School football game in 2nd grade. He was 8. How old are you in 2nd grade?
Yeah, 8. Maybe 8 years 7. Old.
I don't care how small the school is. I don't care if it's six man in like one of those windswept Kansas places. This is an 11-v-11 game. He was in the, he played in the second grade. He also played some in the third grade. Then guardrails. A rule was passed banning elementary students from playing on the high school level.
It seems like a good rule, frankly.
It seems like a good guardrail. Seems like one of the good ones.
Were they saving Dennis Johnson from the high school kids or saving the high school kids from Dennis Johnson, third grader? He was probably, he was beating them up and then humiliating. Like their girlfriends were dumping them and stuff. Like, I can't go out with you. You gave up a sack to a third grader. Hey, babe, I'm a starter on the football team. You want to go out, get a milkshake on Saturday night? Nah, man, you got your ass kicked by a third grader. He did a swim move on you. This guy's the greatest athlete I've ever heard of.
Well, his dad was the coach, which might have been Elvis Johnson.
During his 6 years on the varsity, so seventh grade, he was allowed to join. In total, he played 8 high school seasons. He earned 8 football letters. Second grade, third grade, then 7 through 12. He was named all state as an eighth grader. I don't even know what I'm reading here. He had 521 career tackles, 76 sacks, 140 tackles for a loss. He caused 42 fumbles, recovered 25 of them, and blocked 19 kicks in his career.
Jesus.
Like 19 Reggie kicks? White numbers. He had 200 pancake blocks as an offensive lineman. What the hell is happening in the late 90s? I want to hear more of these outrageous stories. Also played 5 years on the varsity basketball, all region, all that. 5 year letterman in track, 3 state titles in the shot put, 2 in the discus, and 1 in the triple jump.
What?
He's 6'7", 260 pounds, and he won a state title in the triple jump.
If you don't have many people win the shot put triple jump combo.
Regional champ in high jump and came in 5th in the long jump.
Pretty good athlete. Pretty good.
This guy is my hero.
When do we get an epic athlete's Dennis Johnson book?
I want to read. I want to know more about this second grade season. Dennis Johnson, if you are out there, we don't do guests. If you will come on and tell me what happened in the second grade and the third that scared the wimps of Kentucky high school football to ban you.
I think he's a high school coach himself now. So maybe
he's his high school coach now. His son played at Kentucky. His brother was all state. Like, this family is insane. I didn't know anything about him. This is the craziest high school, early grade school. Early. I cannot imagine someone put a second grader on a football field.
In second grade, he was already 5'7", 170. And again, his dad was the coach. Yes.
Yep. 5'7", 170 in the second grade. Yeah,
I'm glad he wasn't playing against other second graders then.
There was nowhere to play him. I think like Pop Warner's like weight limit in the in like at some points like 130, like even at like seventh grade, like right? Like
We had a running back in seventh grade that we had to have him do a little weight loss to make sure he could play on our team. Then bulked back up and ran over everybody. It was great. We won the city championship.
Kyle Tucker brought this up. I think he called it like, this is like Paul Bunyan. Like, if it wasn't the official Kentucky site, like, I had to keep checking. Like, it's not ukathletics.com. Greatest thing ever. Anyway, hats off to Dennis Johnson. It's not news of the weird. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. Played 3 years in the NFL. I think.
All SEC. I remember when I did write Epic Athletes LeBron James, I talked to a guy who coached him and he's 10 and 10 years old. He was at this coach was rounding up players in Akron and they found him and they thought he was like 13 or something. right? There's just a bunch of kids out at this in this field by mm-hmm. by some apartments and playing. And he thought, and the kid, he's like, he's and they started running. The guy was like, "Who wants to play football?" And he gave him like a I don't know, 2 minute combine. So LeBron's like running, and he's like, "How old are you?" And he's like, 10. And he's like, and I remember saying, "Well, when did you think you'd be a pro athlete?" He's like, "Right then." right then. He's probably going to the NFL. He's 10 years old. He can run. What? He's huge. He's like, "Oh my, you're 10? All his other buddies are little. So anyway,
well, no way to Dennis go, Dennis Johnson.
No Dennis Johnson, though. LeBron wasn't Come kicking on. Ass in the second grade.
That's right.
Absolutely right. Unbelievable. I would have flown to Harrodsburg to watch a second grader kick the hell out of some high school kids.
All you parents of young children out there, if your kid isn't high school material at age 7, you're doing it wrong. Work them
yeah.
harder.
Yeah. You know what harder. You should do? Argue with the coach. Yeah. Blame the coach. Blame your local high school coach for not letting him play.
Move him to a different district.
Find a new travel team.
Get him in a prep school.
Yeah, definitely. IMG Academy, they'll take you. Yeah. You're paying, they'll take you.
At age 8, yeah.
Anyway, all right, that's our show. Let's let Pat get drunk. Wet to the horse later today. We got a lot. We'll be back early next week. This was quite an episode. We had prison recommendations. We had a grammar. We had Pat discussing his favorite traits and horses. A lot of things happened. Talked about wrestling.
Remember the ass, Dan. It's all about the ass.
Remember it. It's all about it, definitely. All right, have a great weekend. We'll be back next week. Keep subscribing, and we'll talk to you later.